Hello, this is Stephanie with the November edition of the Elevate broadsheet, designed by Art Care at Salisbury District Hospital and funded by the Stars Appeal to elevate your mood, bring colour and inspiration to you wherever you are. On the front page of our November edition, Stephanie writes, "Light fades and the evenings draw in after changing the clocks. Winter sweeps towards us in the wind. We bring you words and images to delight and inspire you." November smells, in a good way, I think. The scent of the air changes, sometimes damp and sometimes crisp and chilly, leaves and bonfire smoke. The oak tree close to my house is spilling its leaves onto the back garden. There is an old, old superstition, like touching or knocking on wood for luck, which comes from the times when we thought of trees as magical, powerful beings that could give us wisdom, blessings, or shield us from bad luck. Catch a falling leaf and you will have good luck. Every leaf means a lucky month next year. But it's not easy to catch a falling leaf. They spiral unpredictably and swoop past just as you think it's yours to grasp. A patient once told me of her childhood as a gamekeeper's daughter. "I opened the back door and all the leaves blew in. I picked one up. It was my lucky leaf till it crumbled into dust." Do you enjoy the smell of a bonfire? What does it remind you of? Guy Fawkes Night, maybe. Remember, remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder, treason and plot. My brother would stuff a jumper and trousers with newspaper and we'd draw a face and a piece of white cloth and then always stole a cap from my dad. Then we'd push the guy around in my old pushchair, door to door, away outside the butcher's, and ask folk, "Penny for the guy?" There was an organised bonfire on the recreation ground, not very big. I can remember my red wellies and Claire, who lived in a big house on the green. She called her mother by her name, Judy, not mother. Well, she had sparklers and I had never seen them before. They must have been new. I thought they were a bit of stardust. Bonfire toffee. Sometimes it was so hard we had to smash it in the tin with a rolling pin to eat. I love the light of the bonfire and sparklers do seem like stardust and magic even now. And with gloves on, I like to hold a sparkler and try to write my name against the night sky before it burns out. Do you have bonfire night memories, traditions, favourite food or drink to keep you warm? And on this front page, we have a picture of a sparkler sparkling away and a picture of an oak tree ablaze with its autumn leaves and a close-up photograph of autumn leaves on the ground. On the next page, David Davies writes about winter, a festival of light. And David has three pictures by local artists. The first picture is by an artist called Rosemary Jarvis and it's an image of the northern lights, lots of swirling blue, green and yellow lights in the sky reflecting on the sea below. David writes, "Rosemary Jarvis works with fabric and thread. Her dynamic Arctic piece, Norway's Northern Lights, feels like a landscape of deep winter dreams. The Shetland and Orkney Islands term for the Northern Lights is mer or murrey, to shimmer, quiver or tremble. These rippling and unfurling light patterns reminded me of flickering thoughts and dreams." The next painting is by David H. Jones. And again, it's a mixture of lights and blue colours and yellow lights, a little bit of green. And David writes, "Painter David H. Jones lives in Lambourne, West Berkshire. I like how his work distills things to organic shapes of colour and tone. In this painting, Before the Fall, I imagine the slumbering magic of winter captured or reflected in a frozen lake or glacier, perhaps under the northern lights." And then the final image is by New Forest artist Teresa Rogers, and it shows birds and leaves and a bit of a branch. And Teresa Rogers works with batik and lino cut. Her bright piece, Birds and Feathers, gives a crisp and sparkling feeling, reminding me of clear, frosty mornings and the four calling birds in the 12 days of Christmas. The icy charm that Teresa captures in her artwork reminds me of stories about frost fairs held on the River Thames during the Little Ice Age, from about the late 1600s to the early 1800s. In her novel Orlando, Virginia Woolf describes the great frost of 1608 to 1609. Birds froze in midair and fell like stones to the ground. At Norwich, a young countrywoman was seen by onlookers to turn visibly to powder and be blown in a puff of dust over the roofs of the icy blast struck her at the street corner. Frost fairs on the Thames became elaborate festivals with dancing, football, bowling, gambling, horse racing, puppet shows and roundabouts. There were barbers, fruit sellers, shoemakers and beer houses. Beef, ale, coffee, gingerbread, hot apples, gin, roast mutton, hot chocolate and black tea were for sale on the frozen river. At the last frost fair in 1841, printing presses were also on the ice, producing commemorative poems. Here's one. There you may print your name, though cannot write, cause numbed with cold, till 'tis done with great delight, and lay it by the ages yet to come, may see what things upon the ice were done. I fancy a bit of a frost fair. I hope it gets cold enough. And then on the final page, Hannah Lefebvre, our third Elevate artist, has some late autumn musings from her off-grid small holding in Somerset. Hannah writes, "It's late October and the long-awaited squash and pumpkin harvest has been revealed. Hooray! The cold store shelves are lined with a beautiful array of various colours and forms as the plentiful squash sit alongside apples, pears, garlic plats, jars of preserves and sacks of root vegetables. Squash is one of my favourite homegrown vegetables and our stores will gladly last us into the new year. The pumpkins require more creativity, but with some imagination and spice, we enjoy pumpkin patties, cakes and soups, while gifts to friends and family help us to munch through the volume. In mid-October, I created my last batch of flower displays and what a delightful send-off it was. A fine colour palette of pinks, purples, yellows and whites. The bouquets included Nerine lilies, Jerusalem artichoke flowers, fuchsias, buddleia, Michaelmas daisies, sedum and Montbrishma stems. The flowers provided quite an autumn spectacle as I drove through my village, my bicycle basket brimming with colour, to deliver flowers to our neighbours. I hope that the flowers cheered a few spirits at this time. I particularly notice nature's colours at this time of year, almost luminous. I love the autumn glow and our winter cutback. Reducing the shade and bringing more light into the garden helps to emphasise this. I particularly enjoy the pinks available from the likes of spindle and other shrubs and creepers. I am always excited when willow cutting time arrives. I watch the leaves in the run-up and as soon as they have dropped, stomp up the garden armed with loppers. We have three types of willow, as well as flame-coloured dogwood, the latter of which brightens our garden throughout the winter. The willow will sit and soak for a while and in the coming months it will be used extensively for winter crafts, fences, chair backs, baskets, climbers, perhaps the odd garden sculpture. I love the willow for its timeless, mindful simplicity and I enjoy creating something new with the willow each year. We enjoy engaging in the various traditions that come with the changes of seasons and relish carving the largest pumpkin to display at the end of October. We also make a large bonfire to clear the mass of brash from our garden cutback and sneak some foiled wrapped potatoes into the embers to roast for our dinner. I wonder what comes to mind for you when you think of gardens at this time of year. And Hannah has illustrated her page. She has a photograph of one of those beautiful bunches of flowers with Michaelmas daisies and brown-eyed Susans and the pink flowers. And then she has another photograph with a very large pumpkin and it has a heart carved out of it. And in front of the pumpkin is another display of flowers. And she has a photograph of four different samples of willow. One a kind of a purple colour, the other willow red, another one orange and the other one a pale green. Beautiful colours in late autumn to keep us warm.